Yo. Once the most start tripping, chicks start tripping. Yeah. Tell her my name, boo, you know we all hitting. But look, my man, I got three drinks in me stuck. And I ain't trying to talk, I'm trying to get the get weather.
Chicks, I never sweat her.
I'm getting all the cheddar.
Yeah. Look,
read the letter. I patent the plan. Get my eight with it. In my hand, look, just the passion. Chicks drive by in they whips, they be flashing.
Yo,
do you know Bonnie can live? They be asking.
Yo, chick wanna ask me this?
I'm a hit, attitude just like Cancun. I'm a trip. Woo. Now dudes piss, know why? Cause it's a hit. If you cop a five, imagine what I'm gonna get. Lights out, most wanna bring the bikes out. Ball out, chicks on the back, phones all out. I got girls with accents and now me and Hyundai's. My hands touch more bricks than Kwame's. Ice a blind you for real, don't believe me. Only feel comfortable around Ray Charles and Stevie. So I'll take it easy.
I'll go across the border, mama.
I'll go across the border, papa.
And what will you bring me back, mama?
You know what I'll bring you back, papa.
Don't forget,
I won't forget
to bring me back,
what I need,
what you need
tonight.
Tonight. Will you run across the border, mama?
I'll go across the border, papa.
Mister, mister,
I know you heard. Show me love while I drop. Chick, I like this swerve. I take you to the airport so you can cop them birds. Now, is you about it, mommy? Whoa, let me know. Is it the shot, the car, the looks, or the dough? She said mostly the dough. Player, I don't lie. I get with her girlfriend. Ask when can we all get together again? Man, I never love chicks. What you talking about? She tossed me for free. You be taking her out. I never broke in once since I've been in your house. And my connector, only reason she be running down south. Chickens die for a ride, depending who keeps starting. Forget a Jaguar, copper Aston Martin. Partin', don't talk it, Mr. Stay Sparkin'. Dudes can't understand, they still walking.
Will you run across the border, mama?
Nice with the old play. Out of line, cut a chick off like OJ. Y'all ain't ready, that's why y'all dudes look hurt. When y'all see me, more Franklins than Kurt. And I'm spinning them for GP. Thick two socks, I rock like I'm from DC. Cash money gets a juvenile like BJ.
Good morning, good morning. It's Thursday, May 4th. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on Vancouver's community radio station on 101.9 CITR. We're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Coast Salish territory. I am your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, you'll be going down my path. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. The first Thursday of the month, and it's also May 4th. Now, I remember being in elementary school where on May 4th they'd be like, "May the 4th be with you." I think that is like some nerd Star Wars stuff that I'm just not really privy to. I used to be more of a Star Wars fan, but in my adulthood, but when I mean my adulthood, I mean within the past 6 months, I've become more of a Star Trek fan. As I've really gotten into the series, I think that it takes, you should probably take a look at it. If you're listening, you should probably go back and check out some of the old Star Trek, because I've actually found it quite entertaining, quite an entertaining activity to do with my fun employment. Is to catch up on Star Trek. Now, you know what we like to do here is to go over the weather for Vancouver for the next 2 weeks. Today will be a high of 22, which in Fahrenheit is around like 80 degrees, I believe, 80-something degrees, but it's going to be thunderstorms. We don't get thunderstorms here too often, so hopefully we get some lightning. That could be interesting, but make sure you do all of your activities in the morning, because it will be raining in the afternoon. Tomorrow is a 100% chance of rain, and it's going to cool off to 13 degrees. It's going to be partially sunny and cloudy, as it seems to be that we're getting out of winter and getting into more spring, with temperatures over 15 degrees for the foreseeable future. I'm guessing until like October. Sunday should be really sunny, so if you want to do anything, make sure it is on Sunday, which I'm really excited about because it is my last day as a without a job. Listen, it's been a really, really great year and a half, but I'm really excited to get back to work. We could just jump right into the news. We actually have a lot going on today. I have a special guest who will be calling in later to discuss his experience at Firefest. Now, if you don't know what Firefest was, a concert thrown by some, I guess, concert throwers and Ja Rule. And if you know anything, Ja Rule has become a very important cultural icon still in 2017. And the festival went terribly. So we're going to get an eyewitness account on what actually happened in the Bahamas. And they're going to tell us about what are some of the things that they liked about it and what they didn't like and would they go again. So we'll be listening to them in the second half of the show. In the first half of the show, we're just going to be talking about, not we're just going to be, we'll be talking about the BC primary election, which is going on next Tuesday, the Canadian census data that just came out earlier this week, and we'll get into how some of this is all affected by politics down south. And we'll be tuning into that when we get back from a commercial break. What you just heard was a throwback, Philly's Most Wanted, Crossing the Border. Now, for the longest time, I thought that was Cameron. I remember when that song came out, I think I was in fourth grade, fifth grade. I was playing for Tacoma Park Rams, and I remember thinking that, man, this is Cameron. This new Cameron is hot. This new diplomat is hot, until I realized it was not Cameron and it was Philly's Most Wanted. And if you'd like to check out that album, the whole album is hot, but nothing ever came from it. I was silly upset when you just thought that was the sound of music that could have continued, but nope. We'll be talking about the BC primary election when we come back. Stay tuned.
Volunteers to record textbooks for those who cannot use print at the university. If you are a UBC student who is computer literate with an ability to read university material aloud and you have a willingness to learn new techniques, we ask for a 2-hour commitment once a week. For additional information and to set up an audition, call 604-822-6114 or email crane.volunteer@ubc.ca.
Hey there! This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Somewhere between control and never having it. Somewhere between the industry and in the streets. Somewhere between us, kill them all and keep the peace. Everybody talking, everybody gotta say. I ain't really worried, keep them niggas in their place. I ain't with the friendly, get them cameras on my face, and I'd rather hit a
You're back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Aaron, here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. And if this is your first time tuning in, on the show, I like to talk about things that I care about, local news, politics, pop culture, sports. Sometimes I have some interesting guests lined up, from some comedians to artists, industry leaders, and sometimes just some really, really smart people. Occasionally, I'll just have my friends in here. It gets lonely. It's really nice that it started to get bright outside around 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's not as hard to get up. What you're just listening to is Go Preemie by Supreme Inc. and Bounge. Now, I think that in breaking news, wrestler X-Pac, a.k.a. 123 Kid, the Bronco Buster himself, he was arrested in a airport in L.A. where he was arrested on smuggling, I guess on smuggling charges, trying to bring drugs into the U.K., and while they said he had methamphetamine, they had like 40 pills, $700, weed bars, and what the police describe as a liquid marijuana cigarette. Now, I feel like that just means he had like one of those vape pens. But just in case you are thinking about crossing any type of border, those are liquid marijuana cigarettes. That's the proper name. And you will get busted. So, X-Pac, I follow X-Pac on Twitter. I don't even know why, because he wasn't even one of my favorite wrestlers ever. I just feel like he was probably one. I felt like I could watch his Twitter and see a train kind of crash in slow motion, because he tweets crazy. So I'm actually not surprised when they said he was carrying methamphetamine. What I was surprised about was that they said he was selling it and not using it. And then when you heard his excuse for why he had so much methamphetamine on him, and he said it was for a yeast infection, I got really confused. Always confused, because whenever someone says they have a yeast infection, that's a dude, I think I just have to believe that they're lying. Or they have chlamydia. And that's not a yeast infection. So, because I just think that, I thought it was common knowledge that yeast infections happen to women. So I was surprised that the police charged him with intent to sell, when I feel like they could have just charged him with possession. $700 is not that much money for a international superstar such as X-Pac, but I guess that is not for me to decide. So that it's not local news, we should get into the BC local news. So earlier this week, a picture from inside a single unit in a homeless shelter on the downtown east side was taken by the police, and it was to really highlight the opioid crisis here in Vancouver, and talk about, you know, maybe some of the things that we can do. What the picture was of was a sink full of presumably used needles, where a presumable pigeon had made a nest and laid eggs. And the picture has really gone viral and really captured the hearts of lots of people. I even had an individual text me yesterday and tell me that's how sad and scary that the picture made her feel. Just the idea that this is what's going on, that pigeons are now making nests out of old syringes. And so if you look on CBC website today, you will find this story and find that a pigeon expert has called in and basically called BS on that picture. We're basically saying that the picture, it seems to be staged, even though the police officer hashtagged not staged. So I feel like if a police hashtag's not staged, it can't possibly be staged. We've never seen police officers lie before ever in life. But the pigeon expert says that it's not a real picture. However, I don't think that that should downplay the significance of the picture and how it made people feel, because while I disagree that you shouldn't deceive people and say that, wow, look, this is such a terrible problem, even the pigeons are making a nest out of our neglected opioid crisis, the important part is that people are really starting to understand that this opioid crisis is a big deal. Last year, over 900 people OD'd here in the Lower Mainland from fentanyl and other contaminated opioids. And the number this year is expected to be over 1,000. So when you think about the actual problem, it should be addressed. And it shouldn't take a picture of what we think is happening to birds to make you care about it, because what's happening is actually happening to real people. Real people are actually dying. And it's, as we get closer to the BC premier election, it's one of those topics that has been left off of, I guess, maybe the serious topics of conversation when people are complaining about how there is not enough treatment centers and there's not really being done about what is actually going on, particularly when it comes to fentanyl, because that is really what's scaring people. Is just the idea that, I mean, everyone knows that people are going to do drugs, and people are going to do drugs recreationally, and people are going to do drugs, after they have been off of prescription opioids, and it's like a sad reality of life that people do drugs to cope with, you know, all types of terrible things that are going on. However, there are ways to make drugs safer here in Vancouver, and we're just not doing them. What we are seeing is an increase in naloxone kits and people being trained to help respond to overdoses. But what we aren't seeing is, research going into why people are falling into these drug addictions and how we can keep these people safe from overdoses. Now, while it might be a very difficult problem, and I don't have all of the answers, it's just something that doesn't seem to be high on the agenda of the premier politics and the party's politics. What is high on the agenda is housing, are things like how is Canada going to respond to Donald Trump and some of the proposals that he has, particularly in the lumber industry, and how it affects BC economics. So while it is crazy to see a picture of a alleged pigeon nest with eggs in it surrounded by syringes, it shouldn't take something like that where we see animals, how the animals are affected, for you to care about actual people's lives. What we are seeing in the census data is that one of the things to hear in Vancouver is particularly about housing, and about how young people complain about housing and how they can't afford to actually stay in the city. And what the census data actually showed was that it's these millennials' older siblings that are actually making the move, which is pretty standard. And when you think about the logics of what young people are saying, is that they can't afford to stay in the city, you wouldn't be surprised to find out that people in their mid-30s and 40s are moving out of the Lower Mainland into some of the suburbs. Because if young people say we can't afford to stay, they're not leaving immediately. And young people like being around the city. They're not going to move to Chilliwack or Abbotsford or North Delta or Surrey if they can avoid it. And young people, I'm a young person. We have none of my friends, none of my immediate friends here have kids. It's young people are often putting off having kids until later, until that they can afford it. And really what that means is until they want to afford it, because you can stay in the city as long as you'd like when you don't have kids, because you can make those type of sacrifices. You don't have to pay for childcare and things like that. So it shouldn't be a surprise when you find out that 30 and 40 year olds are leaving. And this is not good when you think about Vancouver, local economics, and Canada in whole, because this is the first year that over 65 year old, so elderly people have outnumbered children. So what does that mean? That means that in the future, we're going to be putting a lot of stress on a lot of public systems just because we won't be able to afford all the old people. Now, I don't know what the solutions that you have thought about on how to curb the number of old people, but I can think of lots of solutions. And this is not just a Canadian problem. This is a G7, a developed world problem, as we see that I think that United States is the only G7 country with a younger population than Canada. The United States has the youngest population comparatively to the other developed nations. So what this means is that while these developed nations, so if you think about like the UK and Great Britain and a lot of the countries in the EU and America and Canada, while they hate immigrants, immigrants are really the only thing that is going to save the countries, because as the birth rates decline in these countries, and while Westerners and young people who are growing up in these developed countries continue to have lower and lower birth rates, what that means is that there's going to be no one who's going to be paying in the system, paying for all of these older people. So while it's all of these, while all of these older people who really detest immigrants and what immigrants are going to be doing to the country, they really actually need them to maintain the lifestyles that they are living, or just so that they can retire. So it's either old people have an option, is really to let in immigrants or to work until you're past 65. And now if you've ever met an old person, you know that they're ornery and angry. And I don't want to see these people in my workplaces, because it's just that type of negative energy that I can't handle. No, I'm kidding. Not all old people are like that, obviously. But you know exactly what kind of old people I'm talking about. It'll just be interesting what it looks like, particularly when it comes to politics, on how politicians are going to really bridge the gap between the younger millennial generation and the older demographic, and how that they can paint a really broad brush to try to capture how they can capture their entire, voting block. And what does that mean for the people in the middle? So, like, the people who are our parents' age, from, like, 40s, 50s right now, who are a really small generation, and particularly, and they're going to get left out, because if you're not large in numbers, no one's really going to listen to you. So it'll be interesting to see what politics looks like as we have really, really old people and really young people, and when their ideologies don't mix or run counter to each other, and what we can do for that. When we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about some detail into the Green Party and some detail into the housing situation, and Barack Obama is back after living his lavish vacation, and we'll be getting into that.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
the CM, the CI, yeah. Think I'm Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, the CM, the CI, yeah. And the Skakhu, yeah, to lead in, for my queen, my stale.
I knew I had a problem.
I tried counting calories, eating and eating.
Nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at OA.org.
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/hempology101UBC or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Can't make no money giving you.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. In the last segment, we discussed a little bit about the BC elections, the Canadian census data that came out, and a little bit about the opioid fentanyl crisis. And what we have learned is that really, the United States and Canada are very similar. As much as we try to talk about the differences, while there are many, many, many differences, don't get me wrong. Listen, I see them all the time. What we are seeing is that there are some similarities, like in last week. There was an quote-unquote unfortunate mistaken identity that led to the abuse of a teenage girl by the RCMP. Now, what the CBC says is mistaken identity that led to a handcuffing of a teenage girl. If you watch the video, you would know that she was slammed to the ground and looks like a little bit more than just handcuffing, even though they had the name of the individual they were looking for named Latoya, and the suspect at the time, she said she was not Latoya, and they slammed her down and handcuffed her anyways. While we have what we saw this yesterday was a response by the Vancouver Black Lives Matter was that basically, this is the reason why we have, why they have Black Lives Matter here in Vancouver. When people are trying to discuss how that's not necessary, this is Canada, you know, things like that don't happen here. And that's true. While they might not happen as frequent, we do see that they do happen. This happened just in Surrey. While, like, this should not be excused, I don't like the idea that people feel that they can say that since it doesn't happen as often, that it shouldn't be talked about, or that they don't need support group. I don't think that people understand just how embarrassing it is to be arrested in broad daylight. Like, to be put in handcuffs when you know that you did absolutely nothing wrong. I'm sure to be put in handcuffs when you did something wrong is probably pretty embarrassing too. But I don't know how that feels like. I only know what it feels like to be put in handcuffs when you didn't do anything. And being put in handcuffs at the bus stop when you're 16, as a girl, being manhandled, literally, by two male police officers with your face in the concrete. People don't understand that it's not just enough for them to let you go after they realize that it wasn't you. It's potentially traumatizing. Like, I have a story about myself where me and my friend, we went to the beach. We went for a fishing trip in Delaware, and we didn't catch any fish for the first 8 hours of the trip, so we decided to leave and meet some other friends at the beach. And basically at the beach, we were arrested for stealing shade, basically for sitting underneath an umbrella that was actually rented and gifted to us as the family left, and it was hot as shit outside. And the police officers approached me and my friend, basically asked us what was going on. We were confused because we had just sat underneath the umbrella, and then they arrested us and paraded us down the beach. Now, I didn't get slammed, luckily, but I did get paraded with my hands behind my back in handcuffs for no reason. And I can tell you that it was probably one of the most traumatizing experiences, just understanding that, like, I didn't really have any control of what happened, nor did I do anything. And I was embarrassed because who's to say who might see me walking down the street? And they don't actually know that I didn't do anything because they don't know the whole story. They just know that I was in handcuffs. And so them to presume me and my shirtless body was guilty. So looking at this story, and it talks about the unfortunate mistaken identity, when all they had to do was to do what they did at the end, which was look at her identification and see that she was indeed not who they were looking for. Instead, what they did was they took her to the ground while she was waiting for the bus, handcuffed her, manhandled her, and now they have this video to explain for. The police officers don't care. Here, they're not as bad, but it's still a problem. If it happens one time, it's a problem, and so that needs to be noted. And I'd like to thank the Black Lives Matter here in Vancouver for doing lots of hard work, because they put up with while Vancouver and British Columbia is rather liberal. When I say liberal, I don't mean the BC Liberal Party, as that is more in tune with conservatives from the States, but liberal as in they are more leftist in their ideas. We do see a lot of pushback from these liberals who believe that Black Lives Matter has no business here in Vancouver. Meanwhile, before I moved here to Vancouver, what I wanted to know was the history of Black people in Vancouver. And what you know is that just like in American cities, there used to be a neighborhood where all the Black people lived, and they put a highway right smack in the middle. And that just seems to be what has happened everywhere. And when we talk about BC housing being a constant and I guess like overarching theme here in Vancouver, as it not only boosts the economy, but it also is a great hindrance to the amount of people and the types of people who can live here in the city. Knowing that Hogan's Alley was bulldozed for a highway while not acknowledging that Black people here have challenges that aren't so different than the places that we critique. So moving on to what the 44th president of the United States has done. So Barack Obama has really, since he wasn't president anymore, he's really been chilling. He's been going on lots of vacations from Palm Springs to the Caribbean with Richard Branson. He's been kicking it with Tom Hanks and Oprah and Bruce Springsteen in South Beach on a yacht. Michelle Obama, she's been keeping it tight, going to Soul Cycle classes in the city, going to mad museums. And so it seems to be that they are winding down from their lavish vacations and getting back to work. Last week, if you tuned in, you would have heard me talk a little bit about how people were upset that Barack Obama is taking speech money, like as if they saw he was above speech money. I mean, he was the American president. Of course he's going to make speeches for $400,000. And if I can make speeches for $400,000, I would too. I'm actually out here speaking for free, giving you this knowledge for the free. Somebody wants to pay me $400,000 to do it, be my guest. I would never say no to the check. But Barack Obama is donating $2 million of his own money into a Southside summer jobs program in Chicago. What they will be doing is they're going to be building a Obama Presidential Center. The center will be built in Chicago's Jackson Park, and it's estimated it will create around 200 to 300 jobs continually and over 1,500 jobs in the construction phase, basically adding 2,000 jobs in the economic development area. Obama wants it to be really a center that has a theater, a studio so that Chance the Rapper can record in there. Obama, I'm sure it'll probably have a basketball court close because Southside Chicago, and we know Obama loves to play basketball. But anyways, he wants it to be a cultural center where people, where it's like people are going in and out, and it's just a hub of activity in the area. And I think that's a good thing. One thing I learned is that I read a book called No Such Thing as a Free Lunch, and what it was about government subsidies. And one specific thing that I learned in particular in Chicago and pretty much in all the metropolitan areas was that as these stadiums and professional sports teams continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger and continue to take more and more of government subsidies designed for parks and recreation, what we saw is that a shrinking budget in the parks and recreation departments, where a lot of summer programs and a lot of swimming pools and a lot of rec centers were being closed down. And so if you think about in a economically depressed neighborhood where kids are going to be able to spend time both in and outside of their home and doing activities and being productive and having not only just young people doing activities, but young people who are able to get jobs at these, centers and, build resumes and, build work ethic like that. We saw that a lot of that money was being funneled into large stadiums. So we were losing a lot of the parks and losing a lot of the jobs, particularly for young people, have in recreation department. Like, I know me, that's my first jobs were at the rec. And so it's really nice to see that Obama has this foresight to be able to put money into a center that will hopefully spark a little bit of change in the Southside area and be able to provide some people with the means so that they can create for themselves or do things for, and just do activities in the area. So it will be I think it'll be a good thing. Now, moving on to the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. He recently, I feel like every day something new happens. Like every day there is 10 things Donald Trump did this week or 20 things Donald Trump this week. I don't particularly subscribe to those. One, because I don't have a TV provider, so I can't watch those videos on CNN.com or CBC.ca. So if you have a login and you'd like to let me borrow it so that I can be more informed, so that I can help bring you more news, this requires me to read all of the news. So everything that I bring to you is some things that I have read from reputable sources. However, this story is about how Donald Trump was tweeting about North Korea's, I guess, failed ballistic missile. And he's basically egging China. It says, you know, it was North Korea's missile strike was so disrespectful to the strong new president of China. Bad. So what that means is that Donald Trump is continuing to use his Twitter as a diplomatic stand-in. Now, I think that, you know, while we settle a lot of beefs in the music industry through tweets and through Instagram posts, and I don't really think that, nor I don't really want my president to be settling disputes through Twitter. I don't think that that's proper. I don't really think there's anything more to say about that besides that. It just doesn't feel like a good look when understanding, when trying to think about how we're going to solve this whole issue of potential World War III, and our president is trying to get tweets off. And it's not just that the tweet is in existence, it's that the tweet exists in between him tweeting about reality TV and tweeting about his daughter's clothing line, and in between him tweeting about anything else that's going on, particularly on Fox News or anything, or tweeting about Bill O'Reilly. It's just, you can't, as the president and as someone who is supposed to have foresight and know the history of the United States, which he clearly has demonstrated that he does not know when he brought up how Andrew Jackson would handle the civil rights. And just like, he can't be talking in a stream of consciousness because it just doesn't work for us like that. So it'll be interesting to see how much more of this we can take, because I feel like we have taken a lot. And if Donald Trump is continually to tweet us through World War III, what does that look like? When we get back, we'll be getting into a little bit about how Brandon Roy has the absolute worst luck. And we'll be talking about Firefest, and hopefully my guests will call me back. If they don't, we'll have someone else on here to talk a little bit about Firefest. Maybe even Ja Rule.
We are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same cloth, don't play the same game. Okay. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. No, we are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same cloth, don't play the same game. Okay. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. I was never in the chasing silly hoes. No, I was never in the smoking Reginald. I was never in the copping shoes and clothes. Papa told me keep it low, just move like the G supposed. Whoa, I was told that I could never break the code. I was never in the gangs, now I move alone. I was never in the talking, just to talk. Y'all can't compare to the voice in my head, y'all just not God. I was never in the hallway lies and classroom gossip. I was always in the paper planes and smoking chronic. Y'all was trying to pass class while I'm at the phonics. Now I got you hooked on. Hitting goes my pop so sonic. Yeah,
I encourage you to keep on rocking. We was on MDMA before you popped that molly. We been there, we done that, we passed that, and you can't catch up. Holly, homeless everywhere I go, since home is where the heart is. I told y'all, we are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same comp, don't play the same game. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. No, we are not the same, we are not the same. I come from the same cloth, don't play the same game. Okay. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. While you was worried about who did who and what had happened, I was with Pops in the cypher rap at basement rapping. I know I'm blessed. Blessings piling up like Andre stacking. Feeling like a giant while I'm stomping through these concrete badlands. I got a rare essence, whole city my backyard. Known to drop bombs on a nigga if he come wrong. Where I come from, me and Trig was cruising in the Vic. Souped up, blowing perk, probably looking for a flip. Me and Jazz skipping class just to write a song. My right hand think the melodies done kept us gone. Me and Deezin had a season terrorizing VA. Now me and Epic finna terrorize your airwaves. Me, I'm in a rare state, Super Saiyan all day. I got my mind on my time and how much money it take to get it back. Shit, I'm ruling me in every way. Building a wall around my circle so these devils get space. Now give thanks. We are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same cloth, don't play the same game. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane. No, we are not the same, we are not the same. Not come from the same cloth, don't play the same game. When I peel off, we ain't even in the same lane. You looking for me, but we ain't on the same plane.
Get back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. Thanks for tuning in for the hour. Now, we talked a little bit about how Brandon Roy has the worst luck. Now, if you do not know who Brandon Roy is a former NBA All-Star, played 6 years in the NBA for the Portland Trailblazers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And his kneecaps might be made out of the same thing. Like, when I think about what Brandon Roy's kneecaps are made out of, I, like, think of legitimately a chicken wing. And, like, you know when you turn the flat and everything just breaks apart, that's what Brandon Roy's knees must look like on the inside, because he has had the absolute worst luck since he was the NBA Rookie of the Year in 2007. Now, people thought he was going to be an all-time great. I don't know about that. But over the past couple of days, news has come out that Brandon Roy got shot in front of his grandmother's house. Now, what kind of luck is that? However, it is to be noted that Brandon Roy was shielding little kids. So Brandon Roy, while having bad luck, might be a superhero. He was shot and is expected to make a full recovery. However, but just like, damn, man, what can this guy do to stay out of getting hurt. Like, I hope he didn't get shot in the knee, because wouldn't that just be awful? Like, you can't even you can't even live your life without expecting a knee injury if you're Brandon Roy. Like, any time his knees could just go. It's terrible. Now, waiting for our guest to call in about Fyre Fest. Now, if you don't know what Fyre Festival was, Fyre Festival was an event thrown by Ja Rule, Jeffrey Atkins, and McFarlane, some dude. It was thrown by Ja Rule and some dude he met taking a pilot training with. Now, they had this idea when they were forced to emergency land in the Bahamas and just thought, like, oh, snap, man, we should throw a festival here. It would be so tight. Now, that's pretty much as much as they thought about this Fyre Festival. They're like, oh, we should throw a festival. Should make it the most legit festival in the whole world. I looked at the deck. It's a lot of nothing. Pretty much it's a lot of paid celebrity endorsements for a festival that they didn't really build any of the infrastructure in to throw. So what they were doing was they were paying Instagram models, and Kendall Jenner got $250,000 for one Instagram post. What? And some other famous Instagram people were getting paid around $20,000 each. Billy McFarlane. Listen, I don't know about you, but me, I'm never making plans with anybody named Billy McFarlane. I feel like Ja Rule should have known that was a setup and had Billy McFarlane come and say, Issa, let's do something. I know that immediately if it goes wrong, I'm taking all the blame, because Billy McFarlane sounds like somebody who's related to the police. He sounds like somebody who could get off for something that I might possibly go to jail for. Ja Rule should have knew the jig, but it's Ja Rule, and I feel like that dude hasn't taken good career advice since I was in the eighth grade. So, employees at the festival have described the meetings as they would just sit around and talk about effing. What's crazy is that I'm reading this on the dailymail.co.uk, and they blank out the F word, but the B word is allowed to just fly. So they talk about effing bees. But they're allowed to say it on dailymail.co. I'm not allowed to say it on this early in the morning, because potentially kids will be listening. And kids shouldn't be learning new cuss words on my show, because that's not what this show is about. Anyways, but they would sit around and talk about effing bees and hoes in conference meetings. And Billy McFarlane would allegedly urinate in his office with the door wide open. They gave the dude Billy McFarlane an office. That's crazy. So the festival claimed to have beachside villas and yachts, and what it looked more like was a FEMA camp. No, literally, they used emergency tents like that they did in FEMA, and that's what people were supposed to sleep in. I guess there's cardboard everywhere. They didn't have the infrastructure for porta potties. I have a few friends who were there and waiting for them to call in. However, like Ja Rule, these people are proving to be unreliable. So if anybody would like to call in who's been to Fyre Fest, who knows anyone who went to Fyre Fest, or who just wants to talk about Fyre Fest, you can call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. Yeah. I just want, like, even it's just every time you read a story about it, it just gets funnier and funnier. When they said that, like, I guess it was in a conference meeting, and they said that they wouldn't be able to, they didn't think they would be able to get it done until 2018. And the response to Ja Rule, the response from Ja Rule was, let's just do it and be legends. Like, these dudes have no concept of what it actually took to put on a festival internationally. When I guess Billy was trying to get some of the things through customs, he's like, yo, we don't need to get it through customs. It's only a two-day festival. Like, these dudes just had no idea what goes on. Now, what I want to know is, who is sponsoring this? Like, how did they get people to sign up? What spot? Like, I can see people being dumb enough, particularly people with disposable income who saw Ja Rule. Oh, shit. Blink 182. Oh, shit. They're in the same place. That would make 2001 Issa crazy. 2001 Issa would definitely pay $2,000 and a flight to the Bahamas to go see Blink 182, all the small things, and Ja Rule. Maybe J-Lo will come out. Oh, snap. Like, you know, maybe in 2001 you could have convinced me that in 2017 Issa would have paid $2,000 for that. But in 2017, Issa knows that that's the dumbest thing he's ever heard of in his life. So, I understand how you could convince some people to go and pay for that show, but how could you convince sponsors to pony up money to pay Kendall Jenner $250,000 to provide all this infrastructure and ship things into the Bahamas? Like, where are these investors when real people have ideas? When real people have real ideas to build real things, real things that can help move us forward socially, can help move us forward technologically, can help move us forward economically, spiritually. These investors are nowhere to be found, but they're funding out here funding Billy McFarlane and Ja Rule's dreams. It's crazy. Now, to think about it, maybe I do need to get a Billy McFarlane on my team, because he seems to be making things happen. And the crazy part about it is they'll probably get a second chance next year. The XFL only got one. Firefest gets two chances. That's crazy. In New Mexico, if you've ever watched Breaking Bad, it's the only reason I've ever expect anyone to know anything about New Mexico or Albuquerque. And in New Mexico, a real-life science teacher pleads guilty to making meth in a real life Breaking Bad. Ex-teacher John W. Gose, who kind of looks like Walter White before he lost the hair, has got the same mustache and everything. I wonder if he's got that same top hat. He was arrested during a traffic stop where the cops found a styrofoam ice chest filled with materials such as glassware, rubber tubing, and commonly associated with manufacturing meth. This arrest led to searching his house, where they discovered chemicals, a pound of meth, and $50,000. Now, I'm all for people seeing their dreams on TV and making them a reality. But I wonder if this guy really thought he was Walter White. Like, I wonder what that dude's street name was. Do you think it was Walter White or Heisenberg? Or do you think he had another German street name? They don't talk about his street name in here, but he spent 8.5 years teaching science in Irvine High School and was a vocational teacher at Onate High School, I guess, where he met his Jesse Pinkman, who decided to go into meth lab. It doesn't say if he had cancer or anything, but it's pretty crazy that a real life teacher would see that on TV, see how it goes down, see that it ends with a standoff with a biker gang, and think that this is the life that I want to lead because teaching is just not getting it done. Now, while we wait for, I'm giving this guy 5 more minutes. Said he would call me back. You know, those chicken eaters, unreliable. I thought this was really funny. LeBron James calls out the local beer company for exploiting him. So on Monday night, during the third quarter, LeBron James pretended like he was drinking beer after during the game, after they're beating the brakes off of the Toronto Raptors. And what the beer company, Great Lakes Brewing, now if you don't know Great Lakes Brewing, they make Christmas Ale, which is probably the best Christmas beer that I've ever drank. But anyways, the Great Lakes Brewing Company said GOAT with the gold. So basically trying to capitalize on LeBron James' name. And what LeBron James did was he quickly called him out and said he didn't forget about back when they made beer trying to clown on him. LeBron James, I don't know if there's a athlete that I went from hating as much as I did LeBron James to just having this profound amount of respect for this man. How can you not like LeBron James? I just find it just crazy when somebody's like, I don't like LeBron. I'm like, listen, I understand because I used to be there. Like Kobe Bryant is my favorite basketball player. And I used to think that you couldn't like them both. You couldn't be on both Team Kobe and Team LeBron. But the more that I look at it and the more that I became an adult and started to step back, I'm like, one, you can like them both. There's nothing that keeps you from liking them both. And two, LeBron James is just he's fantastic at basketball. And it just seems like it seems like he just thinks so logically when it comes to his brand and how he acts in general. It's,